Welcome to the Deep Dive. You're probably tuning in because you're thinking hard about leveling up your product design and engineering team, especially for that, crucial MVP phase, and then setting things up for real growth later on.
Yeah, that's a really common challenge.
And that's exactly where we're focusing our energy today.
Right. We've dug through quite a bit of information for you. Some really valuable stuff, actually.
Like what kind of sources?
Well, there are blog posts on engineering metrics, team building, articles, and even forum discussions about customer feedback, real-world takes,
Okay.
and also a YouTube video looking at team collaboration strategies. So a good mix.
And the goal.
The goal is pretty simple. Pull out the most practical, useful insights, stuff you can hopefully use right away to boost your team and hit those MVP and, well, longer term goals.
Okay, great. So let's just jump right in then. One thing that kept coming up was the power of engineering metrics.
Definitely.
It sounds like it's more than just tracking numbers, it's using them strategically, especially for scaling.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the sources really hammered this home. Engineering metrics, they give you a way to like quantify and get a clear picture of your whole software delivery
The whole
process.
thing.
Pretty much. How well people collaborate, how effective your engineering work is for the actual business, the objectives.
Like vital signs for the engineering org.
Exactly, like vital signs. And the payoff can be really significant, better developer productivity, more predictable delivery.
Predictability sounds key for an MVP.
Oh, totally. And ultimately, a positive business impact, which is, let's face it, crucial when you're growing a product.
So for our listener, focused on that MVP, building that foundation, what specific metrics should they be looking at right now?
Well, the investment profile is a really insightful one. We saw that mentioned.
Investment profile, how does that work?
It basically breaks down where your team's time and, energy is actually going.
Okay.
So you've got KKLO that's keeping the lights on, maintenance, stability, the basics.
Right, essential stuff.
Then developer experience, making engineers more effective, better tools, less tech debt, that kind of thing. Feature enhancement, improving what you already have for current users.
Makes sense.
New value. This is the big one for MVPs, right? Building those brand new features, driving growth, revenue.
Here.
And then there's this thing called the inefficiency pool. Basically, wasted effort, like too much context switching, things falling through the cracks.
Huh, okay. So how does knowing this breakdown actually help when you're racing towards an MVP launch?
It's all about balance, isn't it? You need enough KTLO so the MVP doesn't, fall over for early users.
Obviously.
But you can't let it suck up all your resources, or you won't actually deliver the new value of the MVP.
Right.
And interestingly, even putting a bit of effort into developer experience early that can actually cut down your KTLO later makes the team faster for those post-MVP features.
Wow, so it's an investment that pays off.
Exactly. And spotting that inefficiency pool, that's like finding hidden time you can then pour back into the MVP or those crucial growth features.
So if you see lots of unplanned work popping up.
That's a red flag. It tells you something needs fixing to get more predictable.
Okay, got it. What about planning accuracy and capacity accuracy? Those sound pretty critical for hitting deadlines.
Absolutely critical. Planning accuracy tells you basically how often your team actually delivers what they said they would in a sprint or iteration.
Right.
If that's consistently low, say under 60% for a while, that's a huge warning sign.
What?
Could be scope creep, could be just way too much unplanned work derailing your MVP plans. It makes forecasting your launch almost impossible.
Okay. And capacity accuracy.
That one looks at how much work the team actually completes compared to what they plan for that iteration.
So if it's low,
Might mean they're overcommitting, burning out the team, delaying the MVP.
and if it's just unstable all over the place.
Yeah, that suggests the team hasn't found its rhythm yet, which makes planning for future growth really tricky. You need that predictability.
So the point isn't to use these metrics to like point fingers.
No, not at all. It's about getting insight, seeing where you can make improvements, remove roadblocks.
And are there tools to help with this? It sounds like a lot to track manually.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Some tools can automate tracking this stuff, give you almost a real-time view so you can be proactive, spot issues before deadlines slip.
Okay, that makes sense. So we're getting a handle on measuring the process, but how do we make absolutely sure we're building the right thing for
Yes.
the MVP and, for the long haul? That's where customer feedback comes in, right?
Yeah.
And the sources had a lot on that.
You absolutely nailed it. Understanding what customers actually need. It's fundamental, not just for the MVP launch, but for the whole life of the product.
So crucial.
And yeah, we looked at some great stuff, highlighting different ways, different tools for gathering that feedback.
Such as, give us the rundown.
Well, you've got your traditional surveys, NPS Net Promoter Score for loyalty, CSA for satisfaction, CES for effort.
Right, the standard ones.
Yeah.
Using tools like SurveyMonkey.
Exactly. SurveyMonkey, Servicate, those kinds of platforms for the quantitative stuff. But also open-ended questions for qualitative insights. Then you've got tools like Intercom for actually engaging with users inside your app, asking questions, running quick polls.
In the moment, yeah.
Visual feedback tools are cool too. Users take a screenshot, draw on it, add comments. Super helpful for UI
Oh,
issues.
I can see that being useful.
And then product feedback boards. These came up a fair bit. Places where users submit ideas, upvote others, discuss
I
things.
sound like a gold mine for feature ideas.
Yeah, they really can be. It gives you direct insight into priorities, helps you decide what makes the MVP cut versus what's for later.
And the voting helps filter the noise.
Yeah, a good voting system gives you pretty unbiased data on what's popular. Plus, it really boosts engagement, but it's not the only way. User experience tools. These track how people actually use the product. Where do they click? Where do they get stuck? Reveals friction points you might miss otherwise.
Like heat maps and session recording.
Exactly. And user testing platforms watching real users try to accomplish tasks with your product, the qualitative insights there are invaluable.
It sounds like you could easily get buried in feedback, though. So many channels.
That is definitely a risk. Information overload is real.
So how do you manage it? How do you make sense of it all for the MVP and beyond?
Well, this is where some of the AI-powered tools are becoming really interesting.
AI for feedback.
Yeah, they can sift through huge amounts of unstructured text comments, support tickets, survey responses,
And do what?
summarize it, categorize it into themes, pull out the key insights automatically, saves a massive amount of manual effort.
Wow, okay. That sounds like a lifesaver for a small growing team.
It really can be, but remember, collecting it is only half the battle.
Right, you have to act on it.
You have to act on it and you need to close the loop. Let users know you heard them.
How important is that?
Hugely important. Some tools help you notify users when the suggestion gets implemented. It shows you value their input, builds that loyalty we talked about.
Makes sense.
Oh, and one caution that came up in, I think it was a forum discussion. Don't just listen to your loudest power users.
The squeaky wheels.
Exactly. Or the super tech savvy ones. Make sure you're doing user studies with a diverse group, including people maybe less familiar with tech. Get that holistic view for your MVP.
Good point. Okay, so we're measuring engineering, we're listening hard to customers. Now, what about the team itself?
Right, the people actually doing the work.
The sources seem to suggest that just throwing more people at the problem, a bigger team, isn't always the answer, especially for an MVP in early growth.
That's a really critical insight. Yeah, it came through loud and clear. Smaller, really well-coordinated teams, they can often run circles around bigger ones.
How so?
They're more agile, faster iterations. Communication is usually much clearer, less overhead, and often more room for innovation, actually.
Any examples?
Well, think about the origin stories of some big names. Many started lean and mean. It fosters a certain kind of focus.
So if you're not just hiring loads of people, what are the keys to making these smaller focus teams successful, especially for that MVP push and then scaling smart?
Okay, several things seem vital. First, complementary skills. You need people who bring different valuable things to the table, not just clones.
Right, diverse perspectives.
Exactly. And open, transparent communication is just non-negotiable. Regular updates, clear channels, no silos.
Especially in a small team.
Even more so, clear goals, clear roles, everyone knows what they're responsible for. Plus, that wear multiple hats mentality is key.
Being adaptable.
Totally. Willing to jump in where needed and empowering people to make decisions.
Autonomy.
Yeah, autonomy avoids bottlenecks, builds ownership. That's huge for momentum in an MVP phase. And fostering continuous learning. Keep the team sharp.
Okay. What about the actual, like, day-to-day development process for an MVP with a smaller team? Any specific strategies there?
Well, the MVP philosophy itself is the core strategy, right? Ruthless focus on the absolute essentials. Validate, then iterate based on feedback.
Don't boil the ocean.
Exactly. Then technically, things like modular design are really helpful. Makes the system easier to manage and change later.
And documentation.
Clear, concise code documentation, super important. and good prioritization, using methods like the Eisenhower matrix.
Urgent, important.
Right, or Moscow must have, should have, could have, won't have, helps keep focus when things get hectic early on.
Keeps you honest about what's really MVP.
It does. And obviously, solid version control like Git, absolutely essential for collaboration, managing changes, especially with a fast-moving small team.
And communication again, but not just within engineering.
No. Crucially, it needs to flow freely between developers, designers, product managers. Everyone needs that shared vision, needs to understand the why behind the what.
Alignment is key.
Paramount. We also saw this idea of small self-managing teams focus on specific product areas, kind of like mini startups within the company.
Giving them more autonomy.
Yeah, over their own processes, their features, can really speed things up as you scale.
Interesting. Now, one source mentioned the mix of experience levels on the team, senior versus junior developers.
Right. Having senior folks is valuable because, well, they've often seen similar problems before. They can solve tough technical challenges faster, make better architectural choices.
Setting that scalable foundation.
Exactly. But less experienced developers bring, you know, fresh eyes, lots of enthusiasm, eager to learn. It makes for a good dynamic, a well-rounded team.
Okay. And finally, there was a mention of language and culture, even in remote teams.
Yeah, that's a practical point. If your team is distributed, you need enough overlap in working hours for collaboration.
Makes sense.
And just setting clear expectations around communication styles, response times, it smooths things out, keeps everyone on the same page.
Got it. Okay, so as we kind of wrap up this deep dive, what are the absolute must-remember takeaways for our listener focused on improving their team for that MVP and the growth beyond?
It really boils down to, I think, a few core things. First, be intentional. Be data-driven with your engineering metrics. Use them to see what's working and what's not.
Find those improvement areas.
Exactly. Second, actively, consistently listen to your customers. Deeply understand their feedback to guide what you build.
Let the user lead.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And third, build that focused, collaborative, adaptable team, where communication is clear, goals are shared. It's all about working smart together.
And remember, team size isn't the be-all and end-all.
Far from it. Effectiveness and that connection to user needs, that's what really matters.
Right. So as you, our listener, think about all this, here's a final thought to maybe chew on. Considering everything we've explored today, the metrics, the feedback, the collaboration styles, what's the one single change you could make in your team's approach?
Just one.
Just one change that you believe would have the most significant positive impact on getting that successful MVP launched and setting up for sustainable growth?
That's a tough question.
That's your challenge for now. Thanks for taking the deep dive with us.